Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Financial Harmony, Personal Fulfillment. The Path to Building Wealth Without Sacrificing Your Now is a personal finance and wealth building guide by Ryan Templeton and Robert Templeton. Based on the available descriptions, the book argues against the common habit of chasing wealth in a way that undermines contentment, relationships, or present-day well-being. Instead, it presents a practical framework for aligning financial decisions with personal values, family priorities, and long-term legacy goals. The book appears to combine advisor experience with a values-based, faith-informed perspective, making it less about abstract investing theory and more about sustainable planning. Its central promise is that financial progress and personal fulfillment do not have to be treated as opposing goals. By emphasizing contentment, clarity, and intentional planning, the book positions wealth as a tool for a meaningful life rather than an end in itself. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the Templeton Process as a structured path to sustainable wealth. One of the book's defining features is the Templeton Process, described in the available materials as a 10-step system for building wealth while preserving peace of mind. This matters because it suggests the authors are not offering a loose philosophy but a repeatable planning method. In personal finance, structure is often what separates good intentions from durable results. A step-based process can help readers move from vague goals such as getting ahead financially to concrete actions such as clarifying priorities, organizing decisions, and reducing inconsistency. The appeal of this framework is that it treats wealth building as something that should be stable and manageable, not frantic or driven by short-term emotion. That makes the book relevant for readers who want a practical roadmap rather than motivational advice. It also reflects the author's advisory background, since financial planning usually depends on disciplined sequencing, not isolated tips. Secondly, defining a lifestyle number to connect money with real life. The concept of a lifestyle number is another important idea in the book. Rather than treating retirement targets or accumulation goals as abstract figures, the book encourages readers to identify the amount of money needed to support the life they actually want. This reframes planning in a useful way. The question becomes not just how much can be earned, but how much is enough for a chosen standard of living. That kind of thinking can reduce aimless comparison and prevent oversaving or underplanning. It also helps connect budgeting, spending, and investing to personal values because the number is derived from the life someone intends to live, not from a generic rule. In practice, this approach can improve decision-making by giving readers a clearer threshold for trade-offs. Instead of pursuing wealth without direction, they can evaluate whether their financial choices support their intended lifestyle, family responsibilities, and long-term peace of mind. Thirdly, beginning with legacy instead of ending with money. The book repeatedly emphasizes beginning with the end in mind, especially by asking what kind of legacy a person wants to leave. This is broader than estate planning. It includes relational legacy, family influence, and the values transmitted across generations. That perspective shifts financial planning from a purely numerical exercise to a life design exercise. If the desired outcome is not only accumulated assets, but also a healthy family culture, then the planning process must account for behavior, priorities, and the quality of present choices. This is a significant distinction from many finance books that focus narrowly on net worth or portfolio growth. The Templetons appear to argue that money should serve a larger purpose, and that purpose gives structure to financial discipline. Readers who think in terms of legacy are more likely to make decisions that align with long-term meaning rather than immediate gratification. This makes the book especially relevant for households that want wealth to reinforce, not replace, personal and relational health. Fourthly, resisting market noise and avoiding planning mistakes. Another practical theme is the need to resist market noise and avoid common planning pitfalls. This is an important contribution because many financial problems are not caused by a lack of information, but by too much reactive information. Investors often respond emotionally to headlines, trends, or peer behavior, which can lead to inconsistency and poor timing. The book's emphasis on confidence suggests that good planning should create steadiness, not constant second-guessing. By encouraging readers to filter noise, the authors are likely promoting a long-term mindset that protects both returns and emotional well-being. This is especially valuable in a world where financial media often encourages urgency, fear, or overconfidence. The practical lesson is that a sound plan should act as a filter if a decision does not fit the larger strategy. It should not be made simply because it feels urgent. That idea is useful for both novice investors and experienced households trying to simplify their financial life. Lastly, contentment as a financial discipline, not a side benefit. A distinguishing theme of the book is its focus on contentment while pursuing financial goals. Rather than presenting contentment as something that arrives after wealth is achieved, the authors treat it as part of the process itself. That is important because endless striving can produce a feeling of scarcity even in high earners. The book's approach suggests that financial health includes emotional and relational health, and that a person can make wise progress without postponing all enjoyment until some future milestone. This does not mean rejecting ambition. It means setting goals in a way that does not sacrifice the present completely. In personal finance terms, contentment can reduce impulsive spending, status-driven comparison, and the sense that more money will automatically solve dissatisfaction. The book appears to argue that a healthier relationship with money comes from knowing what enough looks like and living accordingly. That makes its message distinctive among wealth books, which often emphasize accumulation, but not inner stability. In conclusion, this book should appeal to readers who want a more integrated approach to money, young professionals trying to build a stable foundation, families seeking alignment between finances and values, and experienced investors who feel their planning has become too reactive or impersonal. Its main benefit is that it does not treat wealth as separate from fulfillment. Instead, it frames financial planning as a disciplined way to support contentment, relationships, and a meaningful legacy. Readers looking for tactical investing advice may find it less technical than market-focused books, but that is also part of its distinction. The book stands out in the personal finance category because it organizes money around purpose rather than around accumulation alone. The Templeton Process, The Lifestyle Number, and The Legacy First Perspective give it a clearer moral and practical framework than many generic wealth guides. For readers who want a plan that is both actionable and values-based, it offers a useful alternative to the usual either-or choice between building wealth and living well now. If you would like to support Ryan Templeton, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.